If you need to retake the MCAT, improvement is possible. You don't have to accept the score that you got. You need to work hard, be patient, and work on your foundation. Work on the foundational skills, and you'll notice improvement. If you go check out the MCAT CARS strategy course from Jack Wesson, a lot of his students are MCAT retakers, students who didn't understand the test the first time. Did you know there's a hard way and an easy way to go through these passages and questions? That's what Jack emphasizes in his MCAT CARS strategy course. There's office hours every week with Jack. Through this self-paced, structured course with homework every 2 weeks, you'll see massive improvements in your ability to understand the MCAT, which will hopefully translate into a better score. Go check out the MCAT CARS strategy course over at jackweston.com today.
The MCAT CARS podcast, session number 92.
The CARS section of the MCAT gives thousands of pre-meds nightmares every night. Whether you're an ESL student, lack confidence while reading, or a slow reader like me, Jack Weston and the medical school headquarters are here to help you score higher in every section so you can be confident you're ready to get the MCAT score of your dreams.
Welcome to the MCAT CARS podcast. My name is Dr. Ryan Gray, and I'm excited that you have taken the time to join me today. I had an amazing note from someone on Instagram who really thanked this specific podcast, for increasing their score from like a 122 to a 127 on her CARS section. So this podcast works if you follow along, if you pre-read, go over each of the sections or each of the sentences and passages and really trying to come up with what the author is saying and then follow along in the podcast to see how you did compared to how I did and how Jack is teaching me. So follow along. Don't forget to check out jackweston.com where you can go check out his trial session right on his main site at jackweston.com. As this episode is coming out, he's got a session tonight, August 26th at 8 p.m. Eastern. See if there is still a spot. Again, jackweston.com. Let's go and jump in. Say hello to Jack. Jack Weston back for some more MCAT CARS podcast. How you doing, my friend?
I'm good, Ryan. How are you?
I'm excited to chat with you. Excited to break down some English language. It's funny, I've been working on a Spanish podcast, and it's interesting coming back over here to the English side and trying to break down sentences in a similar way I was doing with the Spanish podcast. But I like talking to you, so we're going to have some fun.
Yeah, definitely.
What do we have in store for us today?
So many of my students have trouble with architecture passages. And the reason for that is because these kinds of passages are very specific. They're very detailed. And they're detailed on a topic that most students are not necessarily interested in. And for that reason, they zone out completely, especially when it gets into like the kind of descriptions of the buildings or whatever they're discussing. This is a good practice run for a future architecture or art passage that you may get on the actual test. So learning how to stay focused, learning to find trends into what they're discussing, learning to figure out why they're discussing what they are discussing. I think this is a good practice for that.
Cool. All right. Again, as always, you can follow along in the show notes. There's a link in the text there. And you recommend, Jack, to read the passage before actually listening to the episode. Come up with your own conclusions, your own thoughts on what the author is trying to tell you, and then listen along and see if you got it right or wrong.
Absolutely. I mean, half the battle is you just sitting down and breaking every sentence up yourself. Right. And using us as more of a reinforcement to figure out, okay, did I do that exactly how Ryan and Jack did that? Right. Yeah. I think that's the key. Yeah. Okay.
All righty. So first paragraph, glass is often the poor relation to ceramics, says Mark Hill, glass collector, author of several books on 20th century glass and a specialist on the BBC's Antiques Roadshow. All right, Antique Roadshow. I watched some of those shows. They're pretty fun. So Mark Hill, so we're given this glass collector, author of books, so painting him as a specialist. I think I've learned along the way with these is trying to understand who's the expert talking here. Is it the author? Is it the expert? And so this expert is saying glass is often the poor relation to ceramics. I think I'm going to interpret that as glass is inferior to ceramics.
That's great. Yeah, probably. And we'll see what the author exactly means by this, or in this case, Mark Hill. But as long as you know we're discussing glass and ceramics, I think you're going to be fine. And obviously, there is a difference between the two, yeah. Right? I think that's what you should find, is there is a distinction between glass and ceramics.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay. But ask why this is the case. Hill is mystified. I can't think of an explanation. Okay, so it's interesting. So Hill isn't saying that glass is a poor relation to ceramics. It sounds like he's just saying that's what it is, but he's not sure why.
Right. So it says often, and we know like this is how the how Mark Hill believes glass appears to other people, right, compared to ceramics. But now we're questioning why it may be inferior, why it's not necessarily as popular.
Yep. Okay. Somehow, glass is secondary to ceramics in terms of the volume of books and articles written and its value in broad brush terms. Ooh, interesting. All right, so now I'm more intrigued. Is he saying glass is inferior to ceramics, or is he saying now glass being written about is less superior than ceramics?
Well, volumes of books, right, and yeah. articles written means basically it's not as important, it's not as popular, yeah. very similar to the first sentence,
yep.
which is that it has a poor relation. It's not necessarily as strong as ceramics.
Yeah.
And again, we're questioning why.
Yep.
Why is this happening?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I was just challenging, is my initial assumption was glass is inferior to ceramics. I think I had that assumption wrong. Reading more, it's like, oh no, it's just, it's not a popular topic. It's not talked about as much. It's less maybe valued. So why is that? Not necessarily, it's just inferior.
It's not bad to make that kind of assumption as long as you're willing to change it when you read new information.
Yeah.
Right. The human mind is really interesting because it tries to predict or generalize information based on previous knowledge. And that's what good readers do. They try to predict where the author is going. But when you see new information that completely challenges or maybe just modifies what you already know or what you've believed, be willing to change it. Be willing to adapt to this new information. And I think that's what you just did. So yeah, I mean, that's great.
An antique porcelain bowl is often worth more than a contemporaneous glass piece. All right, so now we're talking about actual like monetary value, talking about porcelain versus glass, so ceramics versus glass. So now, not just the intrigue from writers, but actual cost and monetary value.
Either way, you know, you can yeah. look at it any way you want. You just know that glass isn't necessarily as important or as valuable, or it is in some ways inferior to ceramics. I mean, that's kind of where the author is going with this.
Yep. Got it. All right. Next paragraph. Yet the popularity of glassware endures. All right. So porcelain, ceramics, more valuable, whether we're talking about written or just monetary, but popular glassware is more popular. I don't know if it says more popular, but the popularity endures.
Right. So it's still popular, just maybe not as popular as ceramics.
Yep. Particularly sought after is experimental modernist glass produced from the 1930s to the 1970s in Murano, just north of Venice, along with glassware from Sweden, Finland, Denmark, the UK, the US, and Czechoslovakia. All right, so now we're talking about some collector's glassware, right? Of what is being sought after, what's popular with collectors. Yeah,
exactly. Okay. And you should know that, you know, you may not know exactly where these cities are or these countries are, but just visualize them, associate them to glass, right? Because they may come up again, and you'll need to know that, look, these countries or cities were in some ways using glass, right? And had glass as a, you know, vital part of their kind of city, or the way they look at glass is important to them.
Mm. Okay. All right. Its appeal has persisted thanks to the broad spectrum of styles produced during the post-war era. All right. So the author here talking about why the popularity endures, just the broad spectrum of styles.
Okay.
There's a world of difference between Murano's flamboyant confections that harnessed ancient decorative techniques such as marine colored patterns visible in glass canes cut in cross-section to create wildly kaleidoscopic abstract patterns, and the more restrained work of Finnish designers. So what we see often here, and I hope that the readers can see this, and it's funny, I think I'm becoming a cars expert, Jack, is we're seeing the author like have a point and then try to prove that point with examples. And where I probably historically have gotten tripped up is in the examples that probably in the end aren't super important. It's just supporting evidence for the main points.
Well, in this case, would say, yeah, well, you're right. I mean, these are evidence to support the fact that, you know, glass is popular and there are different styles, sure. But the MCAT's very particular. When it comes to architecture passages, or in this case, it's not necessarily architecture, but some sort of art, they like to test you on this evidence. They like to test you on these examples. They want to make sure you actually know the difference between, let's say, a Murano's flamboyant convections and, as the author says, a restrained Finnish work, mm-hmm. right? I mean, they give you so many descriptions on what flamboyant meant, yeah. right? You need to visualize that. You need to really understand that. They could test you on this. So this is where a lot of times I find that students start zoning out, right? They'll just shut down mentally because they're not used to reading colored patterns visible in glass canes, right? Mm. Like what does that mean, right? But if you read it slow enough, you can actually see what the author sees. You can actually interpret it the author's way. And to me, I mean, the word kaleidoscope makes the most sense, right? It's a bunch of colors and different kind of patterns. And I mean, if you've ever seen a kaleidoscope, it's kind of like a, you know, kind of like that, right? It's mm-hmm. a random assortment of patterns and images. And I can just imagine what the glass would look like in that case. But then it says restrained work of Finnish designers. And automatically I'm thinking, okay, it's probably a little bit more conservative, probably not necessarily as random or as crazy. And that's important, right? But yes, you should also know, and this is why it's so hard, why they're discussing this. They're discussing its popularity and how there are different styles.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Whew, all right. The Finns favored modernist simplicity, bold, pared-down forms, and muted nature-inspired colors. All right, so just another example of that more restrained work from the Finnish designers.
Right. And a common question you may get, I mean, this isn't common, but this is something that they could do, is they could ask, which of the following do you think the author would prefer as more flamboyant, right? Or would prefer as a flamboyant piece of glass? Mm-hmm. And many times you have students who will just go, I have no idea what is flamboyant. I don't know. I just saw the word. And you'll have to pick something that kind of resonates with what the author believes is flamboyant, right? So that's kind of the key, is make sure you're paying attention. Make sure you're focused. Focus and discipline, I find, are the most important skills for cars.
Yeah. All right, next paragraph. A classic example of modernist Finnish glass is the ever-popular Savoy vase of 1936, a collaboration between husband and wife Alvar and Aino Alato, whose approach to glassmaking was unorthodox. All right, so we're given, again, another example here of a modernist Finnish glass, glass vase. And the people who made it.
Sounds good. Again, just visualize it, mm-hmm. you know, kind of see what it is. Yep. In this case, there aren't that many descriptions of it, but yeah, it's just more of a historical.
Yep.
Go ahead.
The prototype for this was created by blowing molten glass into an irregularly contoured hollow in the ground, which would ultimately determine the vase's wavy organic outline. All right. So just again, I'm picturing that. I love watching. I don't know if you ever watch those glass blowing videos. They're so fun to watch. So that's what I'm picturing there. All right. It was later manufactured by Finnish Glass Works, Italia, in wooden molds that were slowly burned away. And the finished polished product graced Helsinki's glamorous new restaurant, Savoy, whose interior was designed by the Alatos in 1937. All right, so again, just picturing all of these, all of this glasswork in this restaurant.
Yes, this is all visualization, and it's very intimidating because imagine you're a pre-medical student who spent, at least two, three years studying science stuff, right? Biology, chemistry, organic chemistry, and all of a sudden, you have to sit in a random test center reading about vases, you know, and different styles. It's the last thing that a pre-medical student would expect to be on their exam. But this teaches us a very valuable lesson in paying attention, even if you think that the material is mundane or not interesting. It's really critical as a student that you can figure things out that you may not be familiar with.
Yeah. Okay. I want to go to this restaurant. I wonder if it's still around. It has recently been recently been refurbished by interior designer Ilse Crawford in conjunction appropriately with Artek, the Finnish homeware brand founded by the Finnish couple in the late 1930s. All right, there we go. New destination post-COVID. In contrast to the Savoy vase's smooth surface are the rugged textures of fellow Finn Timo Sarpaniva's equally iconic Finlandia glassware of 1964 for L'Italia. All right, so another example here of a Finnish designer and what they made, different glassware.
Right, you got to visualize this. Yeah, very important rugged. Technique, right? Rugged. Yeah. So it's not just smooth or wavy, but it's also rugged. They're both associated with finish.
Yep. Okay. This is created by pouring molten glass into molds with bark-like textures. All right. I just want to play with molten glass now. It sounds fun. Then I can be a car's passage one day. Okay. So this whole paragraph is more examples, but also tripping me up a little bit because it's the previous paragraph was like this more restrained work of Finnish designers. But then this paragraph is like, well, there's still a lot of crazy stuff happening there too.
This isn't as crazy as the Murano.
The kaleidoscope one.
Yeah. You have to see that as a distinction.
Yeah,
definitely.
But so, still different too. Like not all Finnish designers doing the same thing. You have smooth and rugged and
yeah, exactly. And you know, I promise you 50% of the population will just read through this and not catch on to those things.
Yeah.
And those are the things that will make or break your score.
Yeah.
Right. Knowing that Murano's flamboyant convections are totally different than the Finnish or Finland styled vases, which could be rugged or whatever they said, wavy, whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. So knowing there is a distinction, a difference there, and being able to visualize that is everything.
Yeah. All right. Next paragraph. Some mid-century designers encouraged the cross-pollination of ideas between countries. All right, so now it's moving on a little bit, saying, hey, let's mix and match.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah. So that is a new concept, yep. Right? Knowing that, okay, we can actually combine different countries' kinds of ideas of glass.
Okay. So it's starting off was every country was a little bit different. And now this new concept of, but they mixed ideas too.
Right.
All right. In the UK, Jeffrey Baxter, who worked for British forward-looking handmade glass manufacturer Whitefriars Glass from 1954 to 1980, was heavily inspired by Scandinavian design. All right, so again, this example of someone who worked at a glassmaker in the UK who was inspired by Scandinavian design, so crossing those borders there.
Exactly. Evidence, example. Yep.
Yep. His late 1960s pieces, such as his wobbly-looking drunken bricklayer vase, available in a multitude of colors, featured roughly textured surfaces that recall Sarpaneva's creations. All right, so again, another example here and tying it to this previous designer that we were told about in the previous paragraph, Sarpaneva.
Okay.
Drunken bricklayer vase. I want to see that one. Baxter played with tree bark, gouged wood, copper wire, and tin tacks to achieve their appealingly knobbly surfaces. All right, so just again visualizing what this potentially looked like and how much fun it was to make it, probably.
Right. Okay, good.
All right, next paragraph. Glassmaking in the 20th century was further enriched by the international studio glass movement, pioneered in the early 1960s by U.S. glass artists Harvey Littleton, Dominique Labino, and others. All right, so just talking more about the progress of glassmaking and how it was changed and by who.
Yep, just the history of it. Great. Yep.
Their goal was to enable designers to produce glass pieces in a small furnace independently. Previously, most art glass was made in factories by teams of workers or individual glass blowers operating in large shared buildings. All right, so just again, further giving an example of what this international studio glass movement looked like, right? This independent small furnaces versus what used to be done.
Right. So that's the key, knowing that we went from these teams to more independent kind of furnaces, like you said.
Yep. The immediacy of this new approach resulted in highly expressive pieces. All right. So what was the result of that? All right. Now I'm a glass blowing expert.
Yeah, exactly. And now the key for students is knowing there's a dichotomy, right? Knowing that even though we're discussing the realm of glass, there are different types of glass being created, patterns and art. In this case, you have the Murano, which is more flamboyant, and then you have the Finish, which is more simplistic, right? Which has its own kind of styles. But then you also have the cross-pollination, and then the author goes on and talks about how they're trying to adapt or advance the field in some ways by making it even more independent, more expressive. A lot of things going on that they could test you on, a lot. So just be aware of what's going on and what's being said and why it's being said. Those are really important things that I think every student needs to know when they read Carr's passages.
Yeah. All right. So hopefully after reading this passage, you can think as you go through the questions and try to extract the information that the MCAT needs, because that's the whole point, right?
Right. And now let's talk about the main idea, because I think that's something a lot of students will want to know. What do you think is the main idea?
I think the main idea is a little bit of the history of how glassmaking has evolved and changed over time.
So is it popular or not popular?
Popular.
Yeah. Even though it might not be as popular as ceramics, the author is making a bold claim that, hey, look, glass is still popular. There's still different styles from different countries. Here's the different styles, right? And here's what we're doing with it. So the case is really, look, glass is popular, you know? And if a student just read the first paragraph, they may think the whole point of the passage is that ceramics is better than glass, but ceramics had nothing to do with this passage,
yep.
Right? That was just the first paragraph, more of an introduction. And you know, the author would do such a thing just to make it clear that, look, glass is still roaming around. It's still going to be, you know, it's still popular. It's still something that people do. And they did back in the day. So great.
All right, so there you have it. Another MCAT Cars podcast for you. I hope you're really utilizing this podcast to the best of your ability so that you can increase your Cars score. I hope you have a great day, and I hope to see you next week here on the MCAT Cars podcast.
This is MedEd Media.